Yo, what's happening, everybody? My name is Anthony Correnti, and thank you, as always, for checking out another episode of the Dynasty Drive. I appreciate all of the support, as always. Great to be back on a normal schedule here and get some kind of consistent episodes rolling again. So if you're new here, I appreciate you checking out the show. My name is Anthony Correnti. You can follow me on Twitter at Dynasty Drive. And today, we're kind of going to dive into or start diving into some 2023 potential rookie class talk. I kind of put a poll out there on Twitter to get the pulse of what some people wanted to hear more about this time of the season. I know it's kind of unique with Dynasty, especially because, you know, you kind of, I don't want to say settle into that redraft mode, but, you know, it's about week-to-week lineups and things of that nature. And, you know, of course, some trades to help balance out your team along the way and some deep waiver ads. But rookies, man, the lifeblood of any successful Dynasty roster is the rookies that you will add over the course of a couple of years. So put a poll out there. Seemed like people wanted to hear more about rookies. So today I have three running backs that I wanted to talk about, all kind of in the undersized sort of build. Three different players. We'll get to them in a second. But wanted to dive into the rookie class. And I guess let's just start by talking running back as a whole. After, I don't want to say a few years with, you know, disappointing talent, there's been high-end players, Najee Harris, Jonathan Taylor. Some players have outperformed others, obviously. You know, we're waiting to see a little more from Travis Etienne, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire never kind of turned out to be what some people had hoped early on, even though he's had a good start to 2022. But 2023 looks to be a year that is kind of loaded with running back talent, both in the high end and, you know, the Bijan Robinsons and Jahmyr Gibbs of the world. And further down, I mean, it's a class that I think we'll see 3-4 running backs get selected in the first round of rookie drafts come fantasy season. Maybe not be quite as dominated by the wide receiver position as it's been over the past couple of years with these ludicrous classes of wide receiver talent we've had. And that's not to minimize the level of wide receiver that we can expect to be part of the 2023 class as well. There's some very, very good players. But running back is incredibly exciting for a ton of different reasons. So without further ado, let's kind of get right into it. Three undersized running backs I wanted to talk about. They're all pretty exciting for different reasons, maybe different levels of excitement, but kind of put the question in my brain, could 2023 be a year, kind of the year of the undersized running back, right? There's always one, maybe a couple that sneak in there, but these are three guys that I think will have fantasy players and NFL teams as well excited for kind of a variety of reasons, all kind of different things, but, you know, do some of the same stuff well. Let's dive right in with the first guy, and that's Michigan running back Blake Corum. He's a junior running back from Michigan, measures in 5'8", 210 pounds. Quick run through of what the numbers look like. In 2021, in 12 games, had 144 attempts, 952 yards, 11 scores on the ground, to go along with 24 catches, 141 yards, and one touchdown through the air. He had an offensive grade of 89.0 in 2021 from PFF, for those that like to keep tabs on the PFF stuff. In 2022 so far through four games, 64 attempts, 478 yards, 9 touchdowns on the ground already, just 2 catches for 11 yards, no scores, slightly lower PFF grade, 86.8. It's an 87 run grade and a 57 receiving grade, but he is the sixth highest graded running back on PFF through four games. And the majority of his work coming right out of the backfield so far this season, 127 snaps in the backfield, only 3 snaps in the slot. So he's getting his work from the backfield. Corum is like the three guys all in all that I wanted to talk about today. He's undersized, but he's an explosive athlete. He flashes really, really good lateral agility. He excels in space. He's shown off some of the ability as a receiver out of the backfield. And he has the long speed to run away from some defenders as well, but also be in good control of that speed, both in terms of patience and vision, and being able to take a carry the distance. I do think that he runs tougher than you would normally expect out of a back his size. He's kind of got that, maybe he's short, but not really small kind of thing. So maybe undersized is a bit of a stretch for him because he does run with a bit of a tenacity, stronger or bigger than his size. The biggest knock for him, and it'll be the biggest knock for all these guys on this list, of course, is his size. He plays bigger than it. He plays stronger and with more ferocity on it, but the NFL draft capital is going to be interesting. He's definitely gotten off to a bigger, more explosive start than I think maybe a lot of people expected for the 2022 college season, especially since, you know, he's in a backfield where Donovan Edwards, a fellow running back at Michigan, is somebody that's really highly touted and kind of highly regarded in Devy circles. But Blake Corum has been the guy here. And I mean, the production speaks for itself. He's somebody that is going to probably end up with day two draft capital if I had to, you know, bet money on it right now. And like all these guys, maybe he's never going to be a primary sort of ball carrier or a full three down workhorse, but he plays bigger than his size. And he kind of reminds me of like a little bit of a souped up Michael Carter from the Jets, and kind of reminds me of evaluating Michael Carter coming out of North Carolina. I think he does a lot of those same things well, where it's like he maybe is a little bit smaller, but he's a really good inside runner. And especially in his own scheme, he's really, really good at it. He's got good vision, good patience, good vision. And then Corum is somebody that really, really will be a solid player, more likely than not as part of a committee at the NFL level, but that's fine. That's the NFL anymore, right? Everybody's part of a committee. We look at him. He was a productive player. We talked about it in 2021, 952 yards and 11 scores on the ground. Well, that was with Hassan Haskins, right? Before he was selected in the NFL draft by the Tennessee Titans. That was with Hassan Haskins in that backfield as well, being a very, very productive player. So Corum is going to be more than fine if he's got a split time somewhere, but somebody that I'm really intrigued to continue watching moving forward. Somebody I was kind of identifying ahead of the season that kind of keeping tabs on in that next wave of running backs outside of, you know, Bijan, Jahmyr Gibbs, Zach Evans, Sean Tucker, past those guys, like after those four in some order, like who's next, right? Is it Tank Bigsby or is it Blake Corum or who's going to kind of step up and be that next guy there? And I think he's got a real solid case. If he can keep it up, he's going to have an even better case. All right, next guy that I wanted to talk about might be one of the most fun players to watch in college football. It's Kansas State junior running back Deuce Vaughn. Deuce is a little guy. He's 5'6", 176 pounds. But is my guy Deuce Vaughn productive or what? In 2021, in 13 games, 235 attempts, 1,400 yards on the ground, and 18 scores. To go along with 49 receptions, 468 yards, and 4 touchdowns as a receiver. Offensive grade from PFF of 91.6 in 2021. Thus far through 2022, again, through 4 games, 87 attempts, 468 yards, 3 scores on the ground, 12 catches, 49 yards, no receiving touchdowns. And similar to Corum, but not a little bit more of, you know, a divide here. 210 snaps out of the backfield, 18 snaps in the slot, 3 out wide. So getting moved around a little bit more. Look, Deuce Vaughn is undersized no matter how you look at it. Like we said, Corum might be short, but not necessarily small or undersized. Deuce Vaughn's small. He's a small guy, really, from any angle you look at it. But he makes up for it with really very, very good athleticism and natural instincts as a runner to make the most of every situation. I think in years past, it'd be really easy to write off Deuce Vaughn as simply just kind of a gadget player, nothing more, you know, fun college player, but that'll probably be the end of it. But look, the NFL has continued to tell us every year over the last couple years that while size can be important at certain positions, it's maybe not the be-all, end-all that it used to be. We see teams, really over the last few years especially, invest in unique athletes who may be slightly undersized on day two of the NFL draft every year. Look at Wandale Robinson last year. These small, undersized Kadarius Toney the year before. Elijah Moore, not that he's, you know, these are all the same players, and those are a lot of receivers, but the point being, I think the NFL has started to figure out some of these guys won't be in the prototype sort of mold, the big alpha sort of mold. How do we creatively scheme them touches and maximize the talent that they very clearly do have. All that said, I don't think we should write Deuce Vaughn in as a day two selection in ink, in what looks to be a deep running back class. Like we said, he's got, you know, plenty of players ahead of him, but his combination of top tier speed and very good athleticism, to go along with his production, right? Like that 2021 production is no joke. 1,400 yards and 18 scores. Like Deuce Vaughn is the K-State offense. Like he is the engine that makes the Kansas State offense go. So yeah, I mean, and we just talked about Blake Corum being off to a hot start through 2022, right? I mean, it's on more attempts, but the yardage is there for Deuce Vaughn again in 2022. So yeah, he makes the whole thing go there in Kansas State. And I really like that. I like that as an undersized player, he kind of seems to thrive in that. Give me the ball. Let me do what I got to do with it. But anyway, his combination of that production as kind of the engine, the focal point of the Wildcats offense, to go along with the athleticism that he does have, is definitely going to have NFL teams intrigued. I mean, there's just too much that he can do. The vision and patience he shows off is impressive. And I think as a member of a committee at the NFL level, he can be an absolutely lethal change of pace sort of back. It's really, really easy to draw the comparison to Darren Sproles, but I think it is kind of a fitting one. His biggest detriment, like everybody that we're going to talk about today, the obvious one, his size. I mean, he's a liability in pass protection, like you'd expect from a guy who's 5'6", 176 pounds. But I think there's still some hope he can slightly improve there, you know, with practice. He's never going to be mistaken for a player that's going to run through you, but he's definitely got the ability and the field vision and field awareness to get around a defender, maybe rather than through him, and make them look pretty silly in the process. And I think that teams, I don't want to say we'll covet that, because I think that's probably a bit of an overstatement, but I think that teams will place a pretty high value on that, especially with the level of productivity that they've seen out of Deuce Vaughn. You know, they've seen him do it. So I think that a team will cast the size aside on Deuce Vaughn and find a role on their team for him to keep him involved as a change of pace sort of back and get this guy some creative touches. And the third guy of our undersized group of runners here on this week's episode is Devin Achane from Texas A&M, junior running back, 5'9", 185 pounds is what he's listed at. In 2021 through 12 games, 130 attempts, 910 yards, 9 touchdowns on the ground, 24 catches, 261 yards, and 1 receiving touchdown. Offensive grade from PFF in 2021 of 90.3. 2022, again, through 4 games, 65 attempts, 355 yards, 3 touchdowns on the ground, 9 catches, 71 yards, and 1 receiving touchdown. 71.2 is the PFF grade, and you can see the utilization is interesting. 190 backfield snaps for him so far this year, 5 in the slot, 5 out wide, 13 kick return snaps, 2 on punt coverage. You know what that tells me? Speed kills, right? Speed kills, and Devin Achane has it in spades. The NFL knows it. They seek out this top-end speed every single year. He's got legitimately elite top-end speed and acceleration, as evidenced, I think, by both his on-field production and his track background, you know, not just in high school, but also at A&M. This guy has legitimate track speed. It's very intriguing to see. Texas A&M obviously knows that and wants it all over the field for them, whether the backfield, out wide, in the slot, on special teams. His ability to take any carry or touch, whether it's a catch, kick return, anytime he touches the ball, there is a legitimate shot that it can go the distance. And that alone is really likely to him being a day two draft pick in 2023. Top end elite speed gets drafted every single year with premium capital. he's getting the opportunity in 2022 to be the focal point of the Aggies ground attack after playing behind Isaiah Spiller for the past couple seasons. But he's put some impressive things on tape all three seasons. He averaged 7 yards per carry or better in both 2020 and 2021. He's currently averaging 5.5 yards per carry in 2022. Hasn't been called on a ton as a receiver throughout his college career, but he's a capable receiver who will likely see that area of his game expand at the next level. I think teams will want more out of him in that regard, again, because of the speed. He's got an uncanny ability to start and stop on a dime. And whichever team selects him in the NFL is likely going to be looking to find him as many opportunities in space and creative ways as they can. He's a threat to make a massive instant impact, both as a runner and receiver, and can also be a big-time threat on kick returns. And I like that. You know, it's normally something I look at for later prospects, day three guys. You know, do they have a path to specials and will I keep them on the roster? But I like it. It's a path to a player sticking on a roster. Like everyone else that we talked about, he's undersized. I think he's bad in pass pro. Doesn't thrive in short yardage situations. You expect that, right? From most of these guys, you're expecting that to be the case. But that's also not why you're drafting a player like Devon Achane, right? You're going to look for him to probably be paired with a north-south kind of power counterpart at the next level, but he can possess immediate fantasy upside from his game-breaking speed in 2023. I mean, landing spot will be interesting. You want to see that path to playing time, but when a team selects this guy in the NFL draft, they're going to do it with hopes of getting that top-end speed on the field immediately. So three guys there, Devon Achane, Deuce Vaughn, Blake Corum, three of the undersized guys that I think are just like an interesting part of this running back class. We're going to talk about Bijan ad nauseum, right? We've been talking about Bijan for 2 years. Bijan's great. He's not going to get really tested as RB1, right? Somebody out there will list Gibbs or somebody as RB1, but Bijan's RB1, write it in ink. And this class at the top is interesting with Gibbs behind him. And I really like Sean Tucker, and I like the potential of Zach Evans. And I like the, you know, what the pure runner of Tank Bigsby. And then there's this next group where it's like some of these guys are going to keep rising up and the NFL's really going to like some of them. I think Corum is one that is really going to continue to rise up boards, both for the NFL and for fantasy. And just because of the numbers game, right? Because of the four running backs that we just talked about, not on this list, but the four being Bijan, Gibbs, Tucker, Zach Evans, right? There's four running backs right there. Say you're playing in Superflex where it's, you know, that premium on quarterback is apparent in the rookie draft. So you figure you've got at least CJ Stroud and Bryce Young, right? Going around one of rookie drafts. Maybe somebody like Will Levis sneaks in there or depending on who else declares, but let's just leave it at that. There's six. Seven, you figure in tight end premium formats, Notre Dame's tight end Michael Mayer is going to go in there. So you're at seven. So Blake Corum, and that's not even figuring in, right? Jackson Smith and Jigba, there's eight players. Kayshon Boutte, nine players. Jordan Addison, 10 players. The point being that some of these really exciting running backs, Blake Corum, Deuce Vaughn, maybe even later on, Devon Achane, these guys are going to be, you know, round two picks. Maybe some of them get pushed up into late round one. There's going to be value to be had there just based on the depth of the class again. And that's assuming two quarterbacks, right? In the first round of Superflex, which if Levis gets draft capital like he could, or some of these other guys that I don't want to say have underwhelmed, but have been hot and cold, like Anthony Richardson and Tyler Van Dyke. If those guys don't declare, don't come back, just a lot of interesting ways that the back end of round one can shake out. And this sort of trio of undersized running backs is a really interesting thing for me, because I think there's a world that exists where all three of these guys find day two draft capital. I think there's a pretty likely world where at least two of the three find day two draft capital. And Deuce Vaughn would be the one that I'd be most interested to see where he falls. But I do think a team is really going to love that production that they've seen from him. So, just an interesting kind of group of runners to look at. And we'll talk about plenty of rookies over the remainder of the season and the off season, and things will change, of course. But I wanted to get some thoughts out there about these three players that look headed to the 2023 NFL draft, because we've had a little break from talking draft stuff, and it's always good to get back to it. It's one of my favorite things to do on this podcast. So that's going to do it for this week's episode. I appreciate everybody taking the time to tune in and listen to another episode of the Dynasty Drive. If you're not, again, already, you can follow me on Twitter at Dynasty Drive. And while you're at it, make sure to head on over to patreon.com/rookiebigboard, where for as cheap as $3 a month, you can gain access to Consensus Dynasty rankings, which include my Dynasty rankings, Consensus Devy rankings, rookie rankings, college fantasy rankings, access to a Discord that is incredibly lively. There's always talk going on about football, other sports, TV, whatever you want. Make sure to check that out. $3 a month. It's an insane deal. But aside from that, we'll be back next week. I look forward to talking to you guys then. Appreciate everybody listening. We'll talk to you then.